Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning we have with us Tom Rennie with TLR Consulting. Tom, how you doing?
Great. Even the most rainy day in Georgia.
I know. We've had enough rain, I think, for at least a week or two.
Yeah.
Listen, I thought it'd be good to get you on the line, especially in light of a couple weeks ago, there was the story of the PTT plant up in Canada that closed. And I know that for the last 10 years or so, you've been a consultant kind of in that area. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Okay. Well, it was a disappointment, a little bit of a shock, particularly up to our Canadian cohorts, but also in the industry here.
Let's talk for a second. I mean, this yarn coming out of Canada was actually a high-performance yarn that several players were using that far outperformed regular polyester, right?
Well, first of all, Kemp, it wasn't yarn that was coming out of Canada. It was the polymer.
Oh, polymer. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
We were selling the polymer to the two major mills who were indeed turning that into yarn and then into carpet. And you're correct. This PTT is in the polyester family, but when it comes to carpet performance, far surpasses the regular PET, which we've been using for many years now. And this is particularly so in the performance in resilience and walk and things like that. In fact, PTT was very comparable to nylon and in some cases even better than nylon in that arena. From a carpet performance viewpoint, it really was a new and very exciting polymer for the carpet.
So the closing of this plant actually leaves kind of a void, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. In fact, it leaves the complete arena at the moment to DuPont, who have got plant in Kingston that make the equivalent kind of polymer. So Shell and PTT Poly Canada have handed over the part of the carpet industry over to DuPont.
And DuPont has an exclusive arrangement with what they make for at least a little while, don't they?
Yes, they do. DuPont has, for past number of years, an exclusive arrangement with Mohawk. I don't know the details of what that arrangement is, but one would surmise that it's very dependent on the volume that Mohawk take, and should they continue to take the volume required, would continue to retain the exclusivity.
Yeah.
Mohawk were also a very big customer of PTT Poly Canada, so consequently, if they move all the products to the DuPont product, I would imagine that they will maintain the minimum volume requirements that I suspect would be a key part of the exclusive arrangement.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you've actually got a little bit of time on your hands, don't you?
Yes, that's true.
That's true.
I mean, I have been doing a number of projects for a variety of clients, but PTT Poly Canada was my major client and has been for a number of years now. So
well, that's one of the reasons I want to talk to you, because while that's been your specialty for a while, you're actually an expert in all types of areas around polymer and around yarn systems for carpet. Well, let's broaden our conversation for a minute. I mean, there's a lot of changes going on when you start thinking about soft surface and you start thinking about carpet yarn. Let's run our listeners through some of the changes we're seeing.
You're quite right, Kemp. I mean, in the past 3 years, there's been some tremendous changes, and let's start with them. First of all, nylon staple.
Yeah.
Used to have nylon staple would be $500 million to $750 million of pounds sold annually, and probably last year, if that reached £100 million, I'd be surprised. So what we saw was the death of nylon staple, and in turn, when we saw all the closures here in Dalton from the various plants, the majority of them were plants that converted staple fiber into staple yarn. So as the BCF nylon, the quality of it made by the mills improved, the requirement to make staple declined, and so that's what we've seen. We've seen a decline in nylon staple.
Let me ask you too. Now, does the everybody knows that the BCF process is a more efficient process of making carpet yarn than the staple process, just because of all the things you've got to go through. But the real question is, does the consumer end up with as good or better a product if they're buying BCF versus staple?
Oh yes, yeah. Yes, they do. I mean, you may be able to get staple and with a better style occasionally in the heavier weights, but in the long run, that really has been the key, Kemp, that they've managed to make BCF yarns equivalent to the staple carpets that were popular.
So, well, at one time it was a little coarser. You can still get I think the Invista TacTest product that's a BCF product, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And they generally went for the finer yarns and made carpets with a beautiful sheen and pinpoint definition. So these products were as good, if not better, than the equivalent staple product.
We know that overall the demand from the peak is probably off, it may be as much as 30% from the peak in 2005 for total yarn?
For yarns itself, yeah. I did a calculation, Kemp, the other day in my newsletter. In 2005, we probably used as face fiber 3.3 billion pounds of face fiber.
Mm-hmm.
In 2008, it was probably 2.3. Right. So we were down a billion pound, which is a huge amount when you get to it.
Yeah.
Huge amount.
Right. And, you know, let's also remind people that about this time last year, we were paying about $100 a barrel, and now it's going for $35.
Yep.
So raw material prices are way off. Demand is off. And we also, while we're talking about nylon, we all know that there's obviously the big mills make their own. But on the branded side, some big changes. The Wear Dated brand has been sold to Mohawk.
Yes.
And then you've got Solutia has announced that they're in final talks, I think, to sell their nylon business.
Yes. And the suspicion is that nylon operation would probably go to plastic engineering as opposed to the carpet industry, and that's where they'll move to.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times in the refinery business, if you just want to talk about broader sense of polymer, when you want pricing to go up, you try to take capacity offline. And while we're talking about nylon, in the UK late last year, didn't Invista take a major nylon, is it a chip plant? Or?
Yes, this was the second largest, my understanding is that this was the second largest nylon, complete nylon operation. Believe that this plant made adipic acid as well as hexamethylene diamine, which are the raw materials, mm-hmm. as well as making the polymer itself. And yes, it was the second largest operation of that type in the world. And so, you can see that Invista is looking very closely. I mean, they've closed some polyester plants. They just closed the polyester plant in Canada that's been going for years.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the difference between polyester and nylon. I think there's been some changes there. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. This is very interesting. Let me do a little bit of history here.
Okay.
When it was just staple, when you could only get polyester in staple form and nylon in staple form, it generally was a rule of thumb that when the difference between the two products was greater than 25 cents per pound, which meant that nylon would be higher than 25 cents a pound more than polyester. Mm-hmm. You found that the carpet industry would start doing product development in the polyester business because that differential was too high. And you know how price point sensitive this industry is.
Right.
Wrongly, as I put it, but that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Whenever that gradation dropped below 25 cents, was in the 15 cents to 20 cents, the movement was to nylon.
Right.
Well, something very interesting has happened to the polymer industry. And in about, let's see, September, the difference between polyester raw material and nylon raw materials was about $1,200 per ton. Mm-hmm. It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
If you got to it in a polymer effect, you would be talking about nylon polymer being about $1.40 and polyester polymer being about 85 cents.
Yeah, much so, more
I mean,
than...
We're talking 55 cents a pound
okay. Difference.
Huge, yeah. Huge number.
Much more than the quarter that you said was the pivot point.
Yes, yeah. that we looked on. So what happened is, of course, there was a huge swing in the past, in the final quarter of 2008, to the development people working on polyester BCF style.
Mm-hmm.
And when you went to surfaces and even in the Mohawk Road shows and the Shaw Road shows, there was a whole bunch of new polyester BCF products introduced into the marketplace. And primarily, this was because they met the price points that move our business better than nylon did. In February of this year, that difference has gone from $1,200 a ton to $400 a ton.
Well, do the math for me. What's the difference in the price per pound?
Well, the difference was 55 cents a pound.
Yeah.
And now the difference is about 20 cents a pound.
Okay, so it's inside that differential again.
Yes, it's inside the differential.
Uh-huh.
So now what are we going to do with all these polyester styles? Do we still push them? They're cheaper than nylon, but not as cheap as they were when we initially started this development process.
All right, very interesting. So you've got all these major mills out there promoting polyester products because of that differential during the development time. Now they're out there where they're about the time of shipping samples, and the differential doesn't exist anymore. It'll be interesting to see if they're pushing them a little less.
It will be. It will be very interesting. I mean, nylon prices are very low right now, and are they sustainable? Maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe the price of nylon is going to have to go up. But nevertheless, as it stands right now, the price differential between polyester and nylon is not nearly as great as it was 4 to 6 months ago.
Yeah, very interesting. Well, we're about to run out of time. Thomas, did you listen last night to Bernanke say the recession was going to be over this year?
Yeah, I'm with him.
Yeah, yeah.
I still believe that we in the second quarter of this year we're going to start seeing some positive things happening in the economy, and I believe in the carpet industry.
Yeah.
Let me finish with one thing that I think is very important.
All right.
The polymer that we use.
Yes.
Made in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
The yarns that we use. Made in the USA. The backing, the latex that we use, made in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
The carpet that we make, made in the USA.
Yeah.
The carpet is sold in the USA by Americans and finally installed by Americans. You can't get a more made in America product than Broadloom carpet.
Well, that's quite something to say for somebody with a Scotch accent.
completely unbiased.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just reading some information last week where it looks like that carpet's actually picking up a little share right now during this
I believe it will. And, you know, when you compare it to ceramic and wood and laminates, these are all good floorings, but a lot of them are imported into our country. And as we are asking the consumers to spend money to get this economy rolling again, we're also asking them to buy American, and you can't do it better than buy carpet.
Well, Thomas, real quick before we go, I know you do have a newsletter, and you probably wouldn't mind some inquiries about how somebody would get that. Let's say somebody's interested in reading your newsletter. How can they get a hold of you?
Just get me at tlrennie@optolink.us.
Okay. So that's tlrennie at optolink.us. Okay, great. Well, thanks
for
spending time with us. You've been listening to Tom Rennie with TLR Consulting, and I'm Kemp Haar with FloorDaily.net.